Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at WaveBreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wave Break podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder of Wave Break. And if you're new here at Wave Break, we help e-commerce stores stop leaking revenue with done-for-you email marketing. And basically, well, this is my third time in a row recording that intro because, well, I either messed up or I accidentally unplugged my microphone and it totally canceled the recording. But anyway, it is a beautiful day. I'm looking outside my window right now. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. I think actually some thunderstorms are about to go down. But the grass is green and it's just like, you can tell it's a little warm outside. The sun is shining. And that means it's starting to become one of my favorite times of the year, which is summertime. Unless you live in like Arizona or maybe you live in Vegas or something. I was actually just in Arizona. If you live in Arizona, you just got blessed last week. I think it was, or a couple weeks ago, it was like 70 degrees, which I know is like completely unheard of. And I know I've been to Arizona, I've been to Vegas when it's like 100 degrees. So I totally get that it's not normal, but oh my goodness, it was amazing. It felt so good. But I know you guys are probably like freaking out, like, oh my goodness, like it's that time of year again. Like we have to wake up at 4 a.m. to work out and whatever. I don't even know. Like thankfully, I don't have to deal with 100 degree heat like 24/7. But anyway, I digress. Besides the point, what I'm trying to say is summer is almost here. But here's the thing. Summer, what we normally think of it as a time to relax, which it totally is. You know, give yourself a break. Take a vacation for crying out loud. Take a day off. You freaking guys, like you work your butt off. You guys always work. So take a day off. Take a week off. Take a vacation. And then get back to the grind. Because here's the deal. Summer is going to fly by. We're going to snap and it's going to be gone. And you know what's after summer? Dun, 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 dun. Q4. The almighty Q4. The most wonderful time of the year for e-commerce businesses, right? It's when you make all the money. But here's the deal. You make all the money because you're doing all the things and you're so busy. And I mean, think back to last year. I mean, that's already 6 months ago almost. It was over 5 months ago. And now it's about to happen again. But summer is your chance to get ahead and build a foundation and start planning ahead. Like, don't think I'm crazy, because here's the deal. What you do now is going to set you up for results in Q4, because there's a lagging indicator. So one of those important things that you need to get set up now is email and customer retention. Because when it comes to Q4, you're going to be so focused on acquisition and product and support and all these million things you need to do, that email is going to be the thing on the back burner, even though email is going to make you the most money in Q4. So here's what you can do. It doesn't cost any money. Go to emailsuccesschecklist.com. I've been pushing this thing for the last few weeks. Email success checklist. What it is it's an entire list of everything you need to do in your email marketing for e-commerce. If you go through this list and you check the box on every single one, you're good to go. But I know for a fact that you don't have every single one of these things. And if you do, they're not optimized. You could be doing better. So now is your time to get all these things in check and to optimize. The last thing you want is to have one of these boxes unchecked come Q4. because you're not gonna have time to do it. And if you do it, it's not gonna be as good as it could have been if you did it before. So here's the deal. To get this checklist, it's 100% free. All you gotta do is go to emailsuccesschecklist.com and then put in your email and I'm gonna send it to you. Super simple. It's like the 80-20 of email marketing. It's super simple. Just work through one thing per week until Q4 and you're gonna be set up for success come Black Friday. And this checklist just shows you, literally shows you step by step what you need to do to unlock 6 to 7 figures of additional revenue per year in your business from your email marketing. If you run a bigger company, that's 6 figures per month of additional revenue. It's crazy stuff, and it's not like this big secret thing. Like, I literally put it in a bulleted list, and you get that bulleted list at emailsuccesschecklist.com. Go download it if you haven't already. Link is down in the show notes as well. You just go down and click on it, put in your email while you're listening to this episode, and get the checklist, and then just work through one thing per week. And by the way, if you've been enjoying the podcast, make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening so that you never miss an episode. And back to the podcast, if you're new here on the show, what I do is every single week, I interview the people behind the top brands in e-commerce and I get them to share their secrets. Today is no different. Today on the show, I'm bringing Mike Cregan. He's the founder of a company called Butler Luxury, and they make the world's best clothes hangers. So they make them premium coat hangers for like suits and all things like that. And they've made hangers for a ton of designer brands that you've heard of, Calvin Klein, Michael Kors, Chanel, brands like that, and many, many others. Like some he's not even allowed to name, but he gets into nitty gritty. But basically, here's the deal. I talk to e-commerce store owners all the time, obviously, as part of this podcast and not part of the podcast, you know, just colleagues, friends, clients, whatever. And you guys are all worried. You're all looking for the next marketing hack. You're all worried about your competition and now you're going to beat them and all these things. But here's the deal. All of those things, you can get the success you want without worrying about any of those things. All you have to do is do one thing. And Mike reveals it in this episode and he boils it down and he makes it so simple. Like, this episode was so good. I even took notes myself, looking at my notepad right now. And it's so good. So basically, listen to this episode and you're gonna learn exactly what Mike does to stay miles ahead of his competition. And what has kept him as the industry leader for over 20 years. Not just like, you know, the generic industry leader, like literally he's the best in the business at what he does. And he's going to explain exactly how he's been able to achieve the success he has. And this is just a really, really good episode. He's a very smart guy. He's a ton of experience. This is an episode you're going to want to listen to twice. And you're going to want to pull out your notes and go through. It's a really good one. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Mike.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I'm super excited to do the interview and to talk more about your story and exactly what led you to where you are today. And before we dive into that, can you just tell the listeners, give them a little background on like what your company is and what exactly you sell?
Sure. The genesis for Butler Luxury actually started about 20 years or so ago. And we began making, it's not necessarily a super exciting item, but we make the clothing, the wooden, metal, and plastic clothing hangers for various different clothing designers, and such as Chanel, Oscar de la Renta, Calvin Klein, Michael Kors, Diane von Furstenberg, and Eileen Fisher, and I could go on and on and on. So that began about 20 years or so ago. And has been going very well. We also make the hangers used in Nordstrom's and Saks Fifth Avenue and some other stores like that. And here was the thing about how Butler Luxury started, simply was that even though the designers are demanding as far as what they want and how they want it to turn out, they're still limited by a budget. And we knew that we could make something even better than what we were doing. And so one of our customers happened to be one of the tailors on Savile Row. And so we got together with him and said, hey, let's put together what would be, the ultimate sort of suit hanger, you know? And that's what we did, is we put that together. And with both design and materials and craftsmanship, and that's how Butler Luxury came about. And we were oriented towards people who buy, not companies, designers and so forth, But people who buy custom tailored clothes or are very particular about their clothing and its care and wanted to have something that was extraordinary. So that's how Butler Luxury came to be.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't realize you guys were in, like, you guys make the hangers for, like, Nordstrom and all those companies.
Yes. Yes.
That's awesome. And
when I think about it sometimes, yes, I don't think about that much, but when I do, I say, hey, that's pretty amazing.
Right. Like, that must be, like, thousands of hangers, right?
Yes. Those are cases where we're making thousands of a particular piece at a time. And whereas the Butler Luxury mode is more, much smaller scale, and they're more handmade. So it's a quite a different type of thing. But it is great to work with these designers to help them, with what it is that they want to accomplish, to complement the designs that they've come up with. And it's an odd thing, but when you are in a store and you take that dress or coat or whatever it is off the rack, in your mind, you associate the quality of that garment with the quality of the thing it's hanging on. And if it's something that is not very good quality, people are going to associate your clothing with that level of quality. So whereas if it's something that's really nice, they're going to immediately also assume that the thing that's hanging on it is very, very nice too. So
right. I think a lot of brands overlook things like that. Even in e-commerce, like a lesson that you could apply to any e-commerce business is like these brands, like these premium luxury brands that, you know, charge like $4,000 for a sweatshirt. Like if they were using the silly, you know, Walmart plastic hanger, like that would, I mean, it's like, if you're going to sell a premium product, it's like everything has to be premium.
Uh-huh.
Like your packaging, like obviously your branding, but like literally everything. And those little details, like people pay attention to that stuff. I'm sure you've seen this, right?
Yes, they do. And they don't necessarily stand there and think about that, but it's an impression that they have in their mind that does color the way they look at the item that's being sold. And this is, it's the same thing with store design. Those designers spend a lot of time coming up with the store designs that they do because the house that they're in, well, it's just like your house. You invite somebody over to your house.
Right.
If it's messed up, they're going to have a certain idea about you, whether that's true or not. They're going to assume that. If it's clean and it's great and it's in order, that gives them a different idea about you.
Yeah, it's something that, like, you don't even think about, but it is like one of those things that just like a customer just like mentally checks in their brain. Like it's just, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly like you said, and that's so funny that you bring this up because I mean, you think about like what makes a premium product or like what allows people to charge more, but it's like there's just a lot more. Like everything is better, not just like, oh, let's just double mm-hmm. our price.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you know what? Here's something else that I think is important, is that when we talk about this particular thing about quality and products and that sort of thing, is that a long, long, long time ago, when I was actually in college, I worked for this company that made the packaging, meaning the little boxes, that perfumes and other items of that sort came in. And there was a lot of attention on, I wouldn't say they were fairly new, but somewhat, which are big, big, big 6-color printing presses. And there was a lot of attention on how can we, make this great by using all 6 colors and so forth. And the owner of the company, in a speech that he made one time, a line that I've never forgotten since, when he said that quality can be achieved with just 1 color. And I think that's something that, as I said, I've kept ever since then. And in a certain way, what it translates to is whatever level of market that you are at, you can make your product a quality product. And it doesn't have to be a luxury product. It can be the best if it's a middle of the road, middle of the market widget. It can be the best middle of the market widget there is. And I think that's something that people lose sight of sometimes. And it's a thing that, we always try to keep in mind, or I always try to keep in mind. And when I started Butler Luxury, one of the things I said to various people we were working with was that I don't care how many of them I sell. I only care that they're the best that they can possibly be.
Right. I mean, that's step one, right? Because if you could have the best marketing in the world, but if people buy your product and then it sucks or it's like terrible quality, then it's like that word's going to spread. Nobody's going to buy your products like from the front end. Your acquisition is just going to completely die off. And then you're not going to, people aren't going to come, like in your case, people aren't going to come back for another hanger. They're like, screw it. I'll just stick with the, Target. It's like $3. I get like 24 plastic hangers. It's fine.
Yes, exactly. And, one of the things is that people get a little bit turned around on the purpose of their business. And they think that the purpose of their business is to make money. And no, that isn't the purpose of your business. The purpose of your business is to provide a great product with great service at the market level you're at to a customer who then loves it enough where they reward you with money. And so the purpose is providing a great product and service. The reward is money. The purpose isn't money. And that's the thing that happens. Terrible example maybe, but Facebook. I'm sure he wanted to make some money, but the main thing that was on Zuckerberg's mind way back in his college days was to come up with something that really was a great platform for people that would help them in their social life. And that got rewarded. He did a great job at that part and got rewarded with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, people, they're turned around a bit in that. And another thing too is that, last thing I'll say on this subject, is that many companies get involved with servicing themselves instead of the customer. Many of their policies are designed to service them. When you're waiting on the phone for 10 minutes to get help on something, that company has made a decision to service themselves, what's best for them, instead of what's best for you. And that policy of not having enough people there to take your call within 2 or 3 minutes is something that serves them. It does not serve you at all, but it serves them quite well, or they think it does, until they start losing customers.
Yeah, that's deep stuff. Like, I literally wrote that down for myself. Both those things, like first things first, like you need a great product or service first. And then you add your marketing on top of that. That's when you get rewarded with the money because, people, you get paid for the value you deliver to the marketplace. But if you don't have any value to bring, you're not going to make any money. And then the second thing is like, dude, that concept of the just like doing what's best for your company versus doing what's best for your customer. Like, it's easy. I feel like as you grow the business, it's easy to get caught up in like, oh, we need to do things this way. Like, or like we can't afford, like in the customer service example, it's like, oh, we can't afford another person. So we have to make people wait 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, not making that investment in that team member, I mean, that could cost you tons of customers at that point.
Right. Well, it's not just and it isn't just, okay, we'll hire a bunch more people. It's okay. It's figure out a way to service those people.
Mm.
Maybe your solution isn't we're going to hire some extra people to take their calls faster. It's going to be some other method of getting to the calls faster. But your orientation is toward the customer and servicing them. And it's easy to take the easy way out, but one of the things that you had contacted me about originally on this was the fact that I'm going to do this presentation to the convention there.
Yeah, RSE.
Right, exactly, about foreign sales and getting and how a small company can do foreign sales and have it really work. And one of the things, I'm not trying to jump ahead, but one of the things about that is having a service that translates your website and translates the currency. But here's the point, how it goes back to this other point, is that that customer that you that doesn't understand your website and maybe is unfamiliar with the currency and therefore doesn't buy is not going to tell anybody else about your product. They're not going to spread the word. And that person that you irritate by making them wait on the phone for a long time to get service, and that's just one aspect of a company servicing itself, okay? But that person, they're not going to go tell other people. They're not going to spread the word about you. And that's a thing, that good word, that goodwill, that is a thing that doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, with somebody else coming up with a better ad or, you know, a competitor doing whatever, those things don't go away. And your repeat customers are, I've discovered, extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
As you build your customer base, those repeat customers get to be a larger and larger percent of your daily sales. You know, and I could be wrong, but at some point, I figure for us, it's probably going to even overtake. We'll probably have more repeat customers than maybe new customers coming in just because the base is so large.
Yeah, no, and I love what you're saying too, because so many people, and we were talking about this before I pressed record, but we're talking about like how in e-commerce, like everything shifts so fast and there's all these new trends, there's all these new apps, there's all these new marketing strategies, there's all these new things. What's funny is like so many companies would get the growth they're looking for and get ahead of their competition like they want by just doubling down on the basics that you're talking about right here, right now. Like doubling down on becoming like, okay, sure, like, oh, you might have the best product in your space or whatever, but it's like, do you have the best brand? Do you have the best company in the space? Not just for like, you know, your team to work at, which obviously is really important too, not just for profitability and things like that, but like, for your customer base, which is super important, especially repeat customers like you talked about. I mean, a big part of what I do with email, obviously, is like trying to drive more repeat customers just because of how valuable they are to your business. Like that's one of the key, like you need repeat customers to grow your business. Without them, you're just treading water. And we all know what happens when that happens, right? You just stall out and you burn out. And the next thing you know, it's just poof, all your hard work is gone.
Yes.
I love what you're saying.
Well, when you're spending a lot of time making up for the business that goes out the back door, if you didn't have that business going out the back door because either your product wasn't that great or your service wasn't that great, you could spend a lot more of your time on getting people in the front door. And that's where your time is most valuable being spent than making up for the customers that you lost because of either not good service or it's not that it's not bad service. It doesn't have to be bad service. It could be just so-so service these days. Now, I'll give you another – here's the thing. I can't really say names. I sort of wish I could. But,
totally
I mean, we deal with – I mean, I'll give you an example. One guy, we did a customer of ours, and he got a lot of a lot from us and so forth. And then a month or two later, he sends us a member of the royal family to to work for. Okay. And we have a number of billionaires that we deal with, a number of the clothing designers personally using our items, famous names. Like, and again, I can't put them out. But
like we would know who they are if you said
you would some of the most famous clothing designers. Yes, that everybody would know that use our items in all of their homes, the Butler luxury ones. Wow. And the odd thing was they didn't come through us to us through the things that we make for their stores because they're not really connected to what kind of hangers the store buys,
right?
You know,
yeah.
They don't deal with that.
That's someone else's job. They've delegated their way to focus on what they're really good at.
Exactly. So they came to Butler Luxury totally on their own by a separate route.
Do they know that when they buy Butler Luxury, do they know like these are the same in their store, or do you think they go to one of their stores later and they're like, wow, these are just like the ones I have at home?
First thing I should say is they're not the same as in the store.
Okay, they're different.
Very.
So you can't really tell because of branding.
No, you couldn't because it's a higher, much higher level materials and design and so forth. They couldn't afford them for their stores in the thousands.
So you're saying the Butler Luxury are higher quality than the store?
Much, 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 much higher.
Got it. I see.
And the thing is that the ones in the store, every designer has their own hanger design. They're not all the same.
I see.
And so none of them are, there's some commonality to it, but none of them are exactly the same. They all have a particular look that they want we do for them. But again, yes, they come and they still don't know that we make the pieces for their store.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious. So,
yeah. And another great thing, again, coming from when you make something that's great and the contact people are happy with them and the contacts they get is had a person call me, ask for me, and we worked with them and did a particular sort of special project for them, and this was a Oscar-winning film director.
Oh, wow.
And so after we got all done, he got things, he was happy with it, and he says, hey, Mike, because we're located in Santa Barbara, and he says, Mike, next time you come down to L.A., let me know, and we'll have lunch together. And I said, okay, So
that's awesome.
And a month or two later, but it gets even better. A month or two later, I'm going to go down to L.A. And so I let him know, I'm going to be down to L.A. such and such a day. He says, great, plan a lunch. Here, come to my house and, so forth. So I'm figuring I'm going to drive down there, meet at his house, and then we'll go to some restaurant close by. And after an hour, he'll kick me out and I'm on my way. As a perfunctory, sort of a nice thank you perfunctory lunch, maybe, which is still great.
Right.
But I get there at his house, and after about 5 minutes, he says, Mike, are you hungry? And I said, well, sure. He says, let me tell the chef to prepare lunch. And so, yes, a guy in a white hat and a white jacket comes into the room.
Goodness.
And he tells him,
this is at his house?
Yes, this is at his house. Prepare lunch. And so I had a three-hour lunch with him, his wife, and his kids.
Wow.
And it was just way more than I had ever expected was going to happen.
Yeah, that's insane. What is this guy? He's a movie director?
He's an Oscar-winning film director.
Wow, that's so awesome.
Yes.
How was the food? The important question.
It was pretty good. The chef was good.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. So, that's a great story.
It's just one of those things from when you really try to do something to the best of your ability, people do respond to it in ways that you would never expect. I never would have expected that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And having a comm line with people who are members of various royal families around the world, is also an interesting little byproduct of doing this.
Right. But if you just made the worst hangers in the world, or you cut all these corners, or you didn't care, none of this would have happened.
Yes, that's true.
Which is what most people do. Like, they think, okay, how can I cut corners? How can I lower costs? How can I make my effort as you know, minimal as possible, or do whatever? But then it's like, imagine if you just like dialed things up like 50%. You just gave 50% more in investing in back into your products or whatever. Like, just whether it's time or money, whatever, just 50% more. Especially if you're not doing, like, I mean, there's people who are probably listening, well, definitely people who are listening to this podcast episode who are kind of like cringing because they're like, oh man, I've kind of been this cheap person about this whole process. But like, sure, that's bad leading up to this point, but at the same time, like, it's almost a, I mean, it's not a good thing, but what's nice is like, once you really turn that on, it's like, that's like, that's a completely new like marketing engine, branding engine that you turn on for your business that could really like, you think like, oh, it's broken in my company. It's this funnel or it's not these Facebook ads. But I mean, maybe it's as simple as just like your customer experience or, you know, any of the things we talked about, just the mentality of like, you know, doing what's best for yourself instead of doing what's best for the customer. I mean, you flip the switch on that and I mean, you get results like this.
So, very true. And again, the thing that's important is this can be done at any level of quality, of market level. And it's one of the things that we actually applied to the mainline, you know, the designer business, where, you know, for your market, we're going to make this the best it can be for that level of market that you're at. You know, Chanel is going to have a different market than some of the more everyday type designers.
Old Navy.
You know, yeah, such as Old Navy or The Gap or Banana Republic or places like that. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. You can still make that item the best it can be at that market level. And it doesn't mean that it's expensive. It's just the care and the thought put into it. Again, back to the same, what this owner of the printing company said, quality can be achieved with just one color. And it's so true. So it doesn't matter whether you're making luxury products or not. You know, Jerry's, the idea that just occurred to me, I don't know if I'll ever follow up on this or not, but it seems like it would be a great challenge to make a cheap luxury product. Something that's cheap, but is really done incredibly well. Anyway, I'll
I'll get you on the podcast again. once you crack that code, we'll talk. But no, like, you've been dropping tons of value on this podcast, Mike. I really love everything you're saying, and I think it can, like, seriously, like, it could be applied to anybody who's listening. And we're starting to run out of time here, but as we wrap up, like, I'm just curious, like, if a listener is in the position where, I mean, where they're maybe they've been neglecting things. Maybe they've been putting their company first instead of putting the customer first. Like, is there any kind of like low hanging fruit or like a place that you would recommend they start in terms of like getting back on that track, like of putting the customer first, or like any kind of low hanging fruits or things like that that come to mind?
Well, I think the first thing, you know, with any of these sorts of things is just to look at it and say, as what is one thing? Look at all the different things and say, because you look at this and there'll be many things you can come up with. But what's important is pick that one thing that you know you can do and do that first. And then pick another thing that you know you can do, that you're 100% confident you can get done, and do that and work up the ladder. And eventually you'll get there. But I would say, you know, aside from that, is just deciding that that's what you're going to do. And once you do that, and once you change your frame of mind, you will start seeing various things that you can do, because it's going to be different for each company and each product.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you this, probably every person in the position that you're talking about will have one thing that will come to them immediately when you bring that subject up.
They're already thinking about it. It's what they're cringing about.
Yes.
This whole podcast long.
And that's the one thing that you should put your attention on and correct. Right.
That's, I mean, you even finished the podcast with really good advice. Like, do one thing at a time. Like, we go to for example, you're speaking at a conference. We're recording a podcast right now, but like people, I'm guilty of this too. It's like you listen to the podcast or you listen to a speaker at a conference, and then you make all these notes. You have your entire list of notes. Maybe you fill an entire notebook. I was at a conference last week and I filled like an entire notebook, like 75% of it. And like, if you never actually do anything from it, it's like, great. Like, you know, you release some dopamine in your brain by like, you know, thinking about your business. But like, even if you just implement, like you're talking about, like one thing at a time, and then the next, like before you know it, 30 days are going to pass, 90 days are going to pass, a year is going to pass, 5 years are going to pass, and you're going to be like, holy cow, like, do you remember when like we made customers wait 10 minutes to pick up the phone, or I mean to answer their phone call? You really get momentum from it.
Yes, and again it's important that the thing you pick is the thing that you're absolutely certain you can get done. It might be nothing more than, oh wow, those boxes that are sitting around in the aisles, sitting around in the office that ought to be put away, I know for sure I can do that. I can take those boxes and put them away. It can be as simple as that. It's just that one thing that you know for sure that you can do without any doubt in your mind. Do that and then do the next thing that you're sure you can do. And eventually you'll get to the more difficult things.
I love that. Do you apply this mentality to like every part of your business?
Most of the time. I'm not perfect.
Right. But I mean, like, you think about it, like, so many people struggle with, like, uncertainty. They're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's gonna be the marketing channel or the thing. Or, like, I don't know which decision is the right decision. So, you know, they listen to podcasts like this. They listen for advice, what to do. Maybe they hire a coach or they work with, they work with an advisor of some sort. But really, like, what I'm starting to learn, and it sounds like this is what you figured out, is, like, the way you actually make progress is just by doing things. Like, you just do it.
Yes. Because
you're never going to know if it's the right decision. You just pick one. You pick the thing you can do, and then you do it. And then, I mean, you're going to figure out if it was the right decision or not.
Yes, very, very true. We're working on something right now, which I can't say what it is. But it is, again, along the lines of what's the best possible thing it can be. And we're working on that right now. Now, I don't even know if it's going to be successful or not, and it's going to be expensive, but it's a thing that I know if we can get it done and do it properly and correctly, it's going to be something that will guide the rest of what we do, because it'll be a landmark of, if we can get this item, this quality, this way, it'll guide the rest of what we do.
That's awesome. We'll have to do a follow-up episode in the future. See how it goes.
Okay.
We have
all
to.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good.
But anyway, yeah, like I said, we're running out of time here. You've dropped so much value, Mike. Like, seriously, like, I've been taking notes on the side here for myself. So it's so good to have you on the show. Like, as we start to wrap up here, if listeners are interested in anything you're doing, like, you're going to be at the upcoming RSE conference, you're going to be speaking there. But besides that, like, where else can we go to learn more about you, your company, and like, what you're up to?
Well, of course, there's our website, which is www.butlerluxury.com. People can go there. Where else? Well, they can go to the convention and learn a little bit more about how to have their products all over the world and get over, be able to bypass many of the logistics problems that make that a difficult thing to do. And so that's another thing. They can listen to your podcast.
Ooh. I appreciate the plug.
But I think those are the thing. We don't have any, any other outside.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. I mean,
no.
if you're in the market for a premium, I mean, think about like your suit, guys, or, you know, your nice clothes that you worked hard for. And think about what they're hanging up on. Like, you made a good point in the beginning, Mike. It's like people spend all this money on this clothing, you know, like an expensive suit or whatever it is. And then it's like they'll just stick it on the dry cleaner, iron. I mean, not iron. What am I trying to say? The wire hanger.
Yes.
If your hanger game is lacking, if you're using the Walmart, you know, $3, 24-pack hangers, I mean, no shame in that, but like, you better not be hanging your nice clothes up on those. So definitely check out Butler Luxury. They're, I mean, seriously, it's like we've been talking about the whole time. If you've heard anything that Mike has said during this podcast, you know that this has to be the best product on the market for hangers. So definitely go check that out if you have a need for that. And I mean, if you like the value that Mike dropped here, he's going to be going even deeper on his expertise at the conference IRCE later. Or when is it? Well, when this episode drops,
June 27th.
Yeah, it'll be later this month. So yeah, anyway, that about wraps things up. I'll link everything up down in the show notes below. Really appreciate you coming on the show, Mike.
Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate you inviting me to be on the show.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge, and it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible. And we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.